Cop sued for sexually assaulting a survivor of sexual assault whose case he was working on. Two Indigenous men were taken on a Starlight tour in Nova Scotia. The Trans Mountain Pipeline should be operational in time for International Workers' Day. The winner of the elections for mayor in Van, Turkey has been reinstated after having been disqualified, and Thailand's leading protest party is facing dissolution over their desire to amend the Constitution's anti-royal defamation laws. Good morning. It's Thursday, April 4th. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. We start this morning in Longueuil, where a police officer has been accused of sexually assaulting someone who had survived a sexual assault. That woman is now suing the police force for $150,000. In 2019, the Longueuil police were investigating an alleged sexual assault. The Journal de Québec reports that months after they were working on her case, an officer took over her file and started communicating with her, quote, in the goal of reassuring her after what she had experienced, unquote. Within a couple of weeks, though, their interactions got much more serious and the cop sexually assaulted her. The cop asked her to delete proof of their communications, including photos. In the court documents, the woman is named SR, and it took SR talking with a psychotherapist and other service workers to realize that the sexual relationship they had was indeed sexual assault and exploitative. The lawsuit alleges that the cop, Jean-François Grégoire, was in a conflict of interest as he remained the investigator of her case even after he sexually assaulted her, including while he was on duty. SR developed PTSD as a result of the abuse. Next to Nova Scotia, where Kevin Hartling and Blaze Sillyboy are speaking out about being taken on a Starlight tour. Don't know what a Starlight tour is? Well, I'll tell you in a sec. Hartling is from Member 2 First Nation, and Sillyboy is from Eskasoni First Nation. The pair were detained by federal fisheries officers for fishing, reports Lindsay Armstrong from the Canadian Press. They were fishing near Shelburne, Nova Scotia, when the officers picked them up and left them at 1 a.m. at a gas station, about a 45-minute drive from where they had been fishing for baby eels. They had no footwear or cell phones and were forced to walk for about 6 hours before they could find a cell phone that they could use to call a friend. And that is a Starlight tour. It's a practice that cops have used in Canada against Indigenous people for decades. They pick them up, they drive them far away from town and leave them, often without adequate clothes, to be able to get home in the cold. Dozens of people have died due to Starlight tours, and the whistle on the practice was blown by Daryl Knight, who survived one outside of Saskatoon in the year 2000. Armstrong notes that after he spoke out, two frozen bodies of Indigenous men were found victims of other Starlight tours. Hartling said this, quote, that's what was going through my mind the whole time. If we stop moving, we are going to die. If we go and just sit somewhere and rest and fall asleep, we're dead, unquote. Armstrong talked to Priscilla Satie, an Indigenous Studies professor emerita at the University of Saskatchewan, who said this, quote, Starlight tours were intended to kill people. When you drop someone off in 30 or 40 below with no shoes and no adequate winter clothing, then you can only read into it that it was meant to seriously injure or kill someone. Unquote. Next, the Canadian Press is reporting that the Trans Mountain Oil Pipeline expansion will, quote, go into commercial service, unquote, on May Day. Or they don't say May Day, they say May 1st. The expansion will increase the Trans Mountain Pipeline's capacity from 590,000 barrels per day to 890,000 barrels per day. That is an increase of 300,000 barrels per day, which is a great idea to bring online just as the world approaches peak oil. There are still several regulatory approvals that the pipeline expansion needs to clear before it's online, and some components still need to be built. The project is owned by the federal government. You will remember how the Trudeau Liberals bought a pipeline. It cost at least $34 billion to build. That's right, $34 billion to build for a pipeline that will be used to profit the private sector. $34 billion is an incredible amount of money. It's actually an insane amount of money. The Canadian Press article, as it appears in Global News, says that the pipeline will, quote, significantly improve Canadian oil companies' access to export markets, unquote, though it doesn't explain how, nor does it explain what the outstanding regulatory hurdles are, how smart it is to be pouring money into this pipeline, considering the changes in the global demand for oil, who the opponents of all of this are, including Indigenous land defenders and what they want to say about it, or what Canadians might expect in terms of profits from the expanded project. It also doesn't do a financial analysis into how much we have subsidized their profits and what those profits are going to look like for those companies. Next to international news, and first to the Turkish city of Van, where the Supreme Election Board has overturned the decision to disqualify Abdullah Zeydan. Zeydan is from the People's Equality and Democracy Party, a pro-Kurdish party. He won the election with more than 55% of the vote, reports Al Jazeera. The Election Commission said that because of a previous conviction, Zeydan wasn't allowed to stand in the election, and they named the candidate from the Islamic-oriented Justice and Development Party as the winner. That is the party that Erdogan, the president of Turkey, is from, which has the acronym AKP. That person had 27% of the vote, and for some reason, Al Jazeera doesn't name them. Zeydan had been jailed before in 2016 for critiquing the Turkish army's campaign against the Kurds in the country's southeast. He was in jail until 2022. Protests erupted in reaction to his disqualification, and authorities detained 89 people who protested due to their quote-unquote praise of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or the PKK, a party that Turkey says is a terrorist organization. And finally, Bloomberg is reporting that Thailand's constitutional court will disband the Move Forward Party. That comes after the Election Commission submitted a petition to the constitutional court, agreeing with a previous finding from the Election Commission that the party breached the country's charter. The Move Forward Party wants to amend the Royal Defamation Law, and it's that plan that has landed them in hot water. The Election Commission found that their desire to amend this law, quote, amounted to an attempt to overthrow the country's constitutional monarchy, unquote. The party won the most parliamentary seats in the last election, which was last May, and 40% of the popular vote, mostly from young and urban voters. The party's leader, Peeta Limjaroenrat, was not allowed to become prime minister due to conservative lawmakers blocking him until he was cleared of allegations that he violated election laws. The party has 15 days to appeal the decision. If they're found guilty, the party's executive will probably be banned from politics for a decade, reports Bloomberg, and the party cannot try to mess with the royal insult law. This law protects the monarchy from defamation. You can be jailed for 15 years for each defamation offense for defaming the royal family. Move Forward grew out of the ashes of another party called the Future Forward Party. The party was also outlawed and their leaders were banned from participating in politics for a decade. PETA said that they're prepared for the moment where they're inevitably dissolved. Those are your headlines for Thursday, August 4th. I'm Nora. You're listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful Thursday. It's already Thursday because of this shortened week for us. Probably not for you. Maybe for you. I don't know. I hope you have a good one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.